Who else? Michelle? Hey, guys, give me about 20 minutes and then I'll send somebody up, okay? You'll be surprised at how quick, but I feel like I'm supposed to release a word. Cindy's like, yeah, right. Somebody will catch the lights. Amen. Woo, son. Was that not intense for anybody but me? Was that awesome? Golly, I'm like, yay, God. Ooh-wee. Yes. Amen. Thank you, brother. I appreciate your honor, Brother Clay. I do. You honor me as your pastor, and I appreciate that. Not that I'm helpless or anything, but I appreciate it. And I don't want to take that away from you. I could say, brother, I'm younger than you. Let me do that. But I'd be taking your honor away, and I don't want to do that. Amen. Nobody else said anything. Do we have honor in our lives? I'm not talking about for me. I'm talking about for the position. I'm talking about for Linda Carter. I'm talking about for Mama Lori. I'm talking about for Brett and Beth House. I'm talking about for elders that walk faithfully among you guys. Amen. I'm talking about for the people God put in y'all's life. I was texting men this morning. I was so overwhelmed with His presence. I was texting men this morning, thanking them for God putting them in my life. And when we do that, man, God blows up on the scene, man. Come on, somebody. I don't want to be, God, I don't want to be just one of these I believe. I want to be these I know. See, what we do is we walk through this thing and we put I believe followed by a question mark. But Peter comes in and he says, I believe with a period and then put I know with an exclamation point. That's the level of faith that he was at that place. I'm going to read something to y'all. Let me find it. I'm running out there a little bit as I do so often. My Lori's always like, geez. I think I have permission to do this. This is from Sister Karen. It's what you sent me. Can I share this with the body? Are you good with that? She sends me some awesome stuff. She said, I got to victory this morning during singing practice and am led by the Holy Spirit and inspired by worship to write this. Lord, make me a house of prayer, a light shining in the darkness. Make me a lantern leading people to find you. Help me to hear, recognize, and listen to you. Remembering what you say and help it to come to pass by doing what I can and help me find, grant me the courage to seek and find the help I'll need. Do these things for all your children. Help me remain open to Spirit guidance and to not doubt its validity. I know you will not ask me to do anything I cannot do. Help me to remember that. Give me the courage and strength to follow that guidance. I thank you for my writing skill, which has always been a gift from you. You have always been faithful. Comes from this lady that's at this point confined to a wheelchair. She said, you've always been faithful, merciful, leading me, and I vow to follow you forever. Give me strength and patience to keep that vow. I was so moved today. This is 4th of July Sunday. It was stout. She said, I was so moved today. Please give this to Sid and the worship team. And then she said, I want to join the church. I've been coming and I want to just connect. And we're loose on that. But when somebody says, man, I want to join and declare and be part of this fellowship, then you know what? I'm not going to say, oh, we don't do that. Sister, it's an honor to have you come with us. It is an honor, honor, honor. I receive you with open arms, and my family receives you as open arms. Victory Fellowship receives you as open arms. I want us just to, let's just pray over Karen. And y'all just stand. It seems casual when we sit and extend hands. Let's just extend our hands over, Karen. Come on over here, Lori. I know in heaven you will not be confined to that wheelchair, but I don't want you to be confined to that wheelchair your whole time here on earth. The Word says, on earth as it is in heaven is our prayer. And if I believe and know that in heaven she's not going to be confined to a wheelchair, then why am I bound by the limitations that it cannot happen here? So that's part of my declaration over her. On earth as it is in heaven. On earth as it is in heaven. So let's just extend our hand. And I want blessings and fullness and richness in Karen's life. Lord, if you'll just, man, just lay hands on her. Yes. Father, I come to you and I thank you for this precious child. So precious in your sight. And you declared over her this morning that I am yours and you are mine. I heard that sound from heaven louder than anything Melinda could release. I heard heaven declaring that. And I am so thankful for that song over us. I'm so thankful. That's your song over us. You're the author of that song. It originates with you. And I thank you for that declaration. Lord, I just pray blessings over Karen. I thank you that she comes to this place and she considers it home. And I thank you for that. And I pray that we would carry and host the presence well here. So that anytime anybody comes in, no matter what they're going through in life, they encounter you. They feel your presence and they know your heart toward them. And Lord, I just thank you for her today. And I just, I pray that she would just be enriched in her life. She would be enriched while she's here. That God, you would speak to her and just manifest in her so strongly. Lord, I pray for, Lord, her wholeness, spiritual, emotional, mental, physical, every aspect, let her be whole. As I declare this over every person in this room this morning, that we would be whole in every capacity. Lord, I pray for her physical limitations right now, God. And I pray that they would just, healing would be manifest in her body. On earth as it is in heaven. Lord, there is nothing in us that thinks that she's going to have physical limitations in heaven. So why should we accept physical limitations here? Lord, I ask myself that question and there's not an appropriate response to that. If I believe it in confidence for heaven, then I should believe it in confidence for earth. And I should press into the place that that's manifest. And I just declare this over Karen this morning, and I believe this over Karen this morning. Just as I declared, I believe you were healing my hip this morning. Father, I believe that your love and your power is big enough to remove her from this wheelchair. And we're afraid to pray these prayers because we say, what if it doesn't happen? But I believe on earth as it is in heaven. So Father God, as Father of this house, I just believe this and I declare this for Karen. And I pray that our faith would go from, not only I believe, but I know that you're able and your heart is toward us in these areas. And I just pray that over her, Father. I pray that over her. I pray that it would not be hope deferred, but it would be hope right now. God, we just trust and we lean on you right now, Father. We lean on you. We lean on your word. We lean on your power, but most of all, we lean on your love and your goodness. Lord, it's in Jesus' name we ask these things, and in Jesus' name we declare these things. In Jesus' name we have faith for these things, and in Jesus' name we know these things. Amen and amen. Yes. God bless you, Karen. Y'all feel His presence this morning? Good golly. I want to take just a few minutes and I want to release a word. I started it last week and God kind of rocked me on it. And I think it's very, very, very important for the Blake House guys that I'm supposed to release this into you guys as well. That 4th of July message that I was talking about when Karen wrote this to me was the title of that was Walking Through for a Possession. Walking Through for a Possession. And I talked about in Joshua chapter 1, verse 3, the Lord told Joshua they were about to enter in the promised land, and he said, everything that your foot touches is yours. Everything that your foot touches, I've given to you. Everything your foot touches is yours for a possession. The Word talks about Christ, and it says that these things are under His feet. So if it's under your feet, then you own it. Okay? We talked about the Apostle Paul and when he and Silas were beaten and cast into the jail, in the Philippian jail, and all the stuff that occurred after that, and a great, as they began to worship and pray at the midnight hour, and the earthquake came, and all the jail cells were burst open, and the jailer came in and was going to commit suicide because he knew he would be executed for letting them escape. And the Apostle Paul said, whoa, don't. He said, none of us have left. None of us have left. He said, we're all here. And he began to talk to him about the things of God. And the jailer got saved and his whole household got saved. And I said, the ones with authority in that situation were not the Roman rulers, not the ones with swords, but the ones with authority in that situation were the Apostle Paul and Silas. And the reason that they were the ones with the true power in the situation is because they owned that situation. And the reason that he owned that situation is because the things that had happened to him that he had walked through, and not only walked through and endured, but came out on the other side stronger in his faith, stronger in his confidence. He had, at Lystra, he had been stoned recently and left for dead. They tied a rope around his feet and drug him outside the city walls, thinking he was dead. They basically drug him out to the trash heap. Because outside the city walls, it's like they don't do it in America, but in some countries, I remember we were in Curacao many years ago, and they had an island just off of the island of Curacao, and that's where they could haul all their garbage, and there was a constant fire, and they were just burning the trash is what they were doing, just burning trash out there. And we were going out diving, and we went through, and we got the stench of the stuff burning through there. That's basically what they did. I think they called it Hinnon out of Jerusalem. And they drug him out, and don't... He was dead, but he wasn't dead. And he's like, man, if I made it through that and not only survived that, but came out on that victorious, then you think a few whiplashes on my back is going to deter my faith? Absolutely not. So the Apostle Paul owned that situation. He had authority over that. How many of y'all been stung by a bee? Everybody in here. I get stung by a bee, and if I get a chance, it makes me mad and it hurts, but if I get a chance, I'm going to kill that joker. I bet you the same. I bet you get mad and say, ooh, you shouldn't have done that. And he may put some pain on you, but you crushed him. You had authority. He afflicted you, but you had authority over him. And that's the way that this thing is when we walk through stuff and we put our foot to it, it's under our foot, and then we own that. And what I want you to understand in this, the text that I'm going to be in this morning is Deuteronomy 29:29. This is preceding what he told Joshua, but it's in the same proximity of time frame. He comes in and listen, this is a profound verse that's really just changing my life in the last month. It said, the secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things that are revealed belong to us. Belong to us. We own those things. And when we own those things, we have authority to use those things. So here's what I want you to get, and what God's been stirring in me is that there are things in my life that has been revealed to me that I am like Peter. Not only do I believe, but I know. And those things that not only do I believe, but I know, I have ownership on those things. And when I have ownership on those things, then I can use them as building blocks for my life. They are the answer to the problems. They are the answer to the questions. There are still things that I do not know that have not been revealed to me yet. I don't understand why some people die of cancer. I don't understand why tragedy happens in people's life. I don't understand maybe what God's plan for my life is 5 years from now. And we get caught up on the what ifs and the stuff we don't know. But those are the secret things of God. And we can drive ourselves mad trying to figure out the secret things of God, or we can take the things that we have experienced and take the things that we know and we can build on those things. The children of Israel are coming in here in this situation and they're about to go into the promised land. There are things that they don't know. They don't know what they're going to face. They don't know why a whole generation had to die off in the wilderness. They had spent 40 years wandering in the wilderness and a whole generation had to die off because of unbelief. And they're sitting there scratching their head saying, man, this is kind of perplexing. I don't know what to make of all this. I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's going to be and all of that. But there were some absolutes that they did know. There were some things that had been revealed to them. They had walked for 40 years and their clothes didn't wear out. Their shoes didn't wear out. They had a cloud by day and a pillar by night. They had a tabernacle where God would meet them there. And they would see Moses and Joshua go into the tabernacle and meet with God. And they would see the tangible presence of God just begin to move around that tabernacle. And they knew that God was with them. Every foe that came against them was defeated because God was their strong right arm. Not because they were great militarily, but because He was great militarily. And so they didn't know a lot of what was going to happen, but they knew a lot of what would happen because it already happened. The mystery on what giants will face in the promised land should not have been a mystery because of the history of what had happened leading up to that. And I believe that there are enough things in my life that have happened and have manifested. I know that there are enough things in my life that have happened and have manifested that I can build on these things and I can carry myself into success. God can carry me into success because of things that He's already done and revealed to me. And I ask myself, what are the things that I own? What are the things that I own? What are the things that you own? Well, come in, what do we own? I come in and I own my encounter with God and my salvation with Him. I know that. I know the day He saved me. I was a wreck. It wasn't a thing. And I believe kids, my children came to know the Lord at a very young age. And I'm thankful for that. But me, I was a married man in my mid-20s. And I believed in church and I believed in God and I believed the Bible and all that stuff. But He wrecked me and showed me that I was lost, Hunter. So I come running, crawling, whichever way you want to describe it, down to the altar and said, I got to be saved. And I had radical encounter with God. I got saved that day. I own that experience. It's not a I believe, it's I know. Getting back to John 6. It's not a I believe, it's I know. I know. We are sure. That's what He declared later on when He came in. And Jesus came to Peter and He said, who do men say that I am? And he said, some say that you're this and this and this. You know that you're John the Baptist or you're Elisha, come back and all of that stuff. He said, who do you say that I am? He said, you're the Messiah. You're the Christ. You're the Son of God. And He reiterates this and He says, we believe and are sure that you're God's Son. And He said it in such a way that He owned it. And that's the reason He could walk through all the stuff that He walked through, because that was a building block in His life. There's some things that I own and I'm confident in. I'm confident in His faithfulness, Deborah, because I've seen it time after time after time after time. I've had issues with this for several years. They told me several years ago, give us 6 months and you need to go under the knife again. I don't know why I feel like right now God's just starting to heal this thing. I don't understand. That's a secret thing from God. That's a mystery from God. I do not have a clue. But I do know He's a good God and He loves me. And I believe what His Word said. And I believe He thought it. I know He thought it. And then He spoke it. And now I believe it's manifesting. That's something I'm sure of. These radical encounters I've had with God. Sure of those things. I know those things. Those things are things that I own. Man, you guys are coming in today and dude, I love you guys. I mean, I do, legit. I love you guys. Every one of you guys, man, it's in the Blake house. that comes in here week in, week out, and in 10 months there'll be another group of guys. But God has so connected our heart with y'all and what's going on in the ministry and the people that come in. Man, it's not just a program, it's the guys. A program's a program, but it's the guys. But here's the thing, as you guys go through this, there's a lot of uncertainty. And you come in and say, where am I going to be 6 months? Is my family going to be here for me? Is my if you're married, is my wife going to be here? Are my kids and all that? And I see all of these things all over the place. Well, what am I going to do for a career? And this and this and this. And you're sitting here saying, man, I don't know about all this stuff. But there are things that are happening in your life while you're here in this 10 months, coming into this church and other churches and encounters with each other, encounters with the leadership at the Blake House and all that, and the individual encounters with God. And that's the things that you can own and be building blocks in your life. I can't tell you what your future is going to be in 5 years, but I can tell you that God loves you and He cares for you and He's got purpose and He's got plan. And the same thing that He spoke over Brother Huff here when he was a little kid, His same thoughts are toward you. The thoughts that He has toward me in my life are the same thoughts that He has for you. Man, it's the same thoughts He has for you, dude. You go back to Colorado or stay in Georgia. I don't know which, probably Colorado, man. You can catch some powder and all that stuff. But man, just know that when God created this and you're standing at 10,000 feet, man, you're about to drop off 11,000 feet, about to drop off in the China Bowl or something. Sit here and know God created this for me. God didn't create it for Vail so they could make a lot of money. He created it for you. He did that for you. He's like, man, this is my heart toward Him. And that's just one thing, but you can build on that stuff, guys. These things that y'all walk through, y'all go through inner healing, and it's tough, man. It is not fun. I've not been through it, but everybody I talk to is like, man, inner healing sucks. You know, every one of them is like, man, it's hard. Maybe it's supposed to be. Because when you get gutted, it's not fun. When you get exposed, it's not fun. When you get laid bare naked, it's not fun. But when you go through that and you go through it and know God walked through that with you, then when you have some little hiccup down the road, it ain't a big deal. You can say, dude, that ain't nothing. I walked through this other stuff. And God was with me. And you have conflict and you have confrontation. You have different mountains that may come up in your path in the future. And we walk through and we're like, why do you think David didn't have a problem standing before Goliath? Because he's like, man, I've already killed a lion and a bear. And if God killed them for me, or God brought them in where I could kill them, then what's this Philistine heathen? If he had never killed a lion and a bear, it would have been a different story with Goliath. But because he already did those two, he could walk up in confidence and say, I own this. I own this. Brother, you like to deer hunt like I like to deer hunt. Good to see you, man. When you see a good deer out there and you got him in your crosshairs and it's a 100-yard shot, you ain't worried about that, are you? You sitting there saying, dude, this ain't nothing. Why? Because you own a 100-yard shot. You've made a 100-yard shot so many times it ain't even funny. It is like no sweat whatsoever. And you say, I've got utmost confidence. This ain't nothing right here. I can do this in my sleep. Why? Because you own it. Now, if you had never made it, I remember when Hunter killed his first deer and he came in, I forgot the details, but I remember he was excited about it and showed me pictures and all of that stuff. I bet the first time he was like, I don't know about this. I don't know about this. You know, Lori took a shot on a stag down in Argentina a few months ago, and it was about a 275-yard shot. And she said, I don't think I can make that shot. And I said, oh, you can make that shot. Go for it, baby. And I'm sitting there in mind saying, I can make that shot. But she didn't own that shot yet. I did. So there was a difference. And I want you to know there's things in this journey, there's things in this life that God has revealed to us. And He has spoken those things to us. He's spoken that you're His beloved. You own that. I released a word in here last week, and it was to one person, but then I think it was supposed to go to everybody, and I released it. And I said that word was, God is not disappointed in you. And when the enemy comes in and the enemy throws stuff at us and said, you're a failure and you've screwed up and all of that stuff, you know what you own? You own the statement that God told me He's not disappointed in me. So the word says that the enemy's the saint's accuser. So you know what he's going to do? He's going to accuse you, Jamie. But if there are things that you own, you're married to this fine, young, handsome man right here. And I hope, and if he hadn't, I'll beat it out of him, but I hope he's given you his whole heart. And if you've got his whole heart, it doesn't matter if I think you're hot or if I think you're wonderful or if Brett's like, well, damn it, she's sharp, man, and all that. It doesn't matter. All that matters is that you own that. And you can build your life on that. Doesn't matter how many likes you get on Facebook. Doesn't matter if you get elected president of the whatever club or in the little clique at Bremen or Helsin County or whatever. You're building your life on something much more significant, and that's the fact that you have got your beloved's heart. See what I'm saying? That's what you own. We chase stuff that we'll never own, and that's people's opinions. We chase stuff that we'll never own, and that's money. You know how much money I've made through the years? I am 55, and I have worked a full-time steady job nonstop since I was 16. Do the math. I've been gainfully employed for 40 years. You know how much money I've made in 40 years? Whew. You know how much is in my bank account right now? Whew. I ain't lying. You probably wouldn't want to swap. You'll never be able to own this. Because there's always something with its hand out. Uncle Sam, this bill, that bill. Yellow jacket nest in your wall, needs exterminating. Oh, we'll take care of it. $300. True story last week. Go figure. But the thing is we go and we try to build our life on stuff that we'll never own. And what I want you to do is I want you to get the things that you do own, and that's the things that the Word says, the things that are revealed belong unto us. The things that God has revealed unto you belong unto these encounters, that belongs to you. And nothing can take that away. There's absolutely nothing that can take that away. I love the Scripture, and I'm closing up here. I told y'all 20 minutes. I don't want to be a liar up here too much. I love the Scripture in David where he was really discouraged because people were leaving him and the enemies were around about him and he had sin in his life and all that stuff. But it said that he strengthened himself in the Lord. And you know the way that he could strengthen himself in the Lord, Nick? He owned some stuff between him and God. God had revealed the love that he had for him. God had revealed his faithfulness to him. God had revealed his heart toward him. God had revealed his destiny to him and says, you're going to be king over my people. And you're going to sit on the throne. And God spoke all that stuff to him. So he owned all of that. So when all the circumstances look nasty, and Absalom's coming against him, and he's messing up with Bathsheba, and this is going on, and this is going on, and this is going on. He was able to go back to a foundation of I own some things in my life, and that's my encounters with God and what God has spoke over me. And so that's what I defer to. That's what I build my life on. I know people that get warped up because they don't get enough likes on Facebook. I personally don't do it, but I'm not going to condemn it today from the pulpit. But it's like that puts value on you if enough people like something you post. You'll never own public opinion. Never. You'll never own the beauty of youth. Because you'll get old like me and you'll get out of shape and bald-headed. Courtney's catching up to me now. I used to be jealous because he had a lot more hair than me, but we're running a good race now, ain't we, brother? It happens to the best of us. There are things that we don't own, but I want you to understand there are things that you do own. And build your life on those things. Everybody that's getting baptized today, today's going to be something that you own. It's going to be an undeniable encounter moment with God that nothing can take back from you. I said that to my son-in-law last Sunday. We were talking about the things that we own. And I remember the day he got baptized in a river in Alabama with 800 other people. But when he got baptized, he was the only one in the river. I don't know how many other people were in the river, but when he got baptized, he was the only one. I couldn't see anybody else, even though there were 800 people around us, or more than that, probably 1,200 people around us. And I saw what God was doing. And I was standing right there when Damon laid hands on him and prayed over him and baptized him. And I'm like, dude, you own that. The things that I own are under my feet. Discouragement should have no place in me. Why? Because I should always be able to encourage myself in the Lord. Hope being robbed should have no place in me. Because I own those things. I own what God's doing. To me, that's the hardest thing about Alzheimer's that I hate and that hurts me the most. Also, your mom's battling with this right now. Is Alzheimer's comes in and it robs you of the things that you own. And I'm not talking about stuff. Y'all know what I'm talking about. The stuff you own. It robs you of that. That's why we don't, let's don't just, I apologize to you. You sent me a text this week or an email. I don't know. We were communicating about one other thing, but something else early in the week. I asked you how Beth's mom was doing. And you said and all of that, man. And I'm like, well, man, we had special prayer for her and all that stuff. But I'll be honest with you, man. You know, with stuff like that, because I saw my uncle, my faith level's not. God spoke something to me just right when we were praying about to pray for Karen. He said, if it exists in heaven, it should exist on earth. And if it doesn't exist on heaven, then it shouldn't exist on earth. And there's nothing in us that believes that Alzheimer exists in heaven. Do you believe it exists in heaven? Absolutely not. So then it should be under our feet here on earth. You say, man, you're running out there with some heavy stuff. Should there not be a goal to attain, Nick? Should there not be something to aspire to? That's what he says our prayers to be on earth as it is in heaven. So if it doesn't exist there, then it should not, it should be eradicated here. I don't want anything that robs us of the things that we own. So build your life on those things. Build your life on those things. Significant things that God's done. Significant things. What you have here with Ashley. What God's done in y'all. And dude, I look at y'all, man, I'm like, man, they look like they're happy. Y'all may be faking me off, but y'all look like y'all are happy. And I'm like, y'all, you know what? Y'all own that. Yeah, Joe, look at Joe. He's sliding back, throwing his arm around her. Now he all, you know, Rico Suave there. You know, hey, baby. It's all right. But you own that. And it doesn't matter what your bank account looks like. And it doesn't matter what age does to you. Me and Lori are growing old together gracefully and passionately because we own some things. Own some things with her and in her and history with her. And I want you guys to build on that stuff. Build on the things you own, Casey. Build on the stuff you own. Build on the stuff you own. Build on that. I've sit back and seen God do crazy stuff in your life, Anita. You own those things. You own those things. So all the junk that tries to come up, put it under your feet. Because you know what? I own this. I own this. That's why he can say if we just sit here and declare mountain be moved, it's going to be moved. Why? Because we own the mountain. Think about it. This is really some profound stuff, guys. Think about it. And ask yourself, what do you own? What do you own? What do you own? You own some stuff, coach. Build your life on that. And you're doing that right now. And it's awesome. You had a beautiful encounter with the Lord last week. It was beautiful. I was just sitting there. I didn't even know what was going on. I'm like, hey, Randy, make me pray with her and all that stuff. But you had an awesome encounter. You know what? You own that now. Nobody can take that away from you. That's God coming in and kissing you on the cheek, saying, Megan, I love you. I love you. And I want this thing to be so personal between us. That's what he's saying. That's something you own. It's awesome. awesome thing. Amen. That's what we build our life on. Not theory, not doctrine. I don't build it on theory and doctrine. I build it on what I know. I build it on what I own. That's what we build it on. You know, one of the beautiful things about our relationship, Scott, is we've got so much history together. Sometimes I get on your nerves and you're like, gosh, you know, punch me in the face. Sometimes you get on my nerves and I want to punch you in the face. But people, they ask me, I said, dude, we got history together. So much history together. 30 years worth of history together. We own that. 40, I don't know. Heck, man, I'm getting old. He's in my front yard when I was 6. We got 40 years of history together. So much. Nope. Nobody can take that. Circumstances can't take that. That's what I want you to get. The things that are revealed to us are ours. It's part of our inheritance. If you're just living for heaven, you're missing out. Can I declare that this morning? If you're just living for heaven, you're missing out. Heaven's going to be awesome, and I'm going to enjoy it. Whew. But I own a lot right now. Just let that marinate on you. Will somebody go up and get the kids from Children's Church? Matt, will you run up and grab the kids from Children's Church? Unless the Holy Ghost has failed, a bunch of them's getting saved, then wait. The other evening I came in, it was late, and I'm like, man, I just want to veg for just a few minutes, and I flipped on the DVR and see if there was something I could look at. While I wound down before I went to bed, and on our DVR, the only thing that's recorded is hunting shows and cooking shows. So I'm scrolling through, and I saw one of them that I recorded that I like the guys on it pretty good. And I saw a name that popped up on the description of it, and it was Johnny Hudman. And they were going on, that Larry Wison was going on a whitetail hunt in Texas with Johnny Hudman. And Johnny Hudman was hosting him at this ranch that he was wildlife manager and all that stuff. And I immediately stopped and I hit it and I texted Errol. And for about 10 years, when Errol was a little girl, about 10 years old until she was probably 20, she used to go to Texas every year deer hunting. And Johnny Hudman guided us about 8 of those 10 years, or was the wildlife manager and guided us several years. And so we've got this history with Johnny. And it was so awesome when I saw him on TV, and I haven't talked to him in probably 5 or 6 years, but when I saw him on TV, I was like, oh, and I had all of this rush of feelings and emotion and all of this stuff that came over me. And I texted Errol and I said, hey, I got Johnny's on TV. I got this recorded and all of this stuff and all that. And Errol, she takes me back and she said, that's some of the best memories of my childhood. It was always on her birthday because that was during the rut. And she was cool until she got about 16. She's like, really? I'm at deer camp on my 16th birthday? I'm like, well, deal with it. It's the middle of the rut. But the thing is, me and Ariel and Lori, we own some stuff on that. She owns some stuff. You see what I'm saying? It's been revealed to her and she owns some stuff. We say it all the time, I'm making memories. You're making more than memories, you're owning stuff. Y'all were big about that, Kathy. Y'all were big about that as a family, and I applaud you because we do the same thing. But you're not just making memories, you're owning stuff with your grandchildren and your children. And that's something nothing can take from us. Nothing can take from us. That's stuff we build our life on. So I want to ask you this morning, what do you own and what are you building your life on? And we're about to have a wonderful, wonderful baptism. I told him, I said, just give me a window right here. I'm going to ask the worship team. Y'all come up. Worship's been so awesome this morning. Y'all come up and we're going to get ready. Any of the guys from a black...